Spiritual retreat in Banff. As we were out there suffering in Banff, we thought of you, and I prayed for you that all would go well, and I'm sure it did. But as we were there suffering in Banff, we actually experienced a great blessing, and it was such a wonderful chance to be away to rest. The goal was to take Sabbath, but also to connect with colleagues and to learn. The topic for discussion last weekend was conflict resolution, a very relevant topic for the church, but also for the world as we think about the political landscape that we're in right now, the polarization in our culture, but also in the church, and it was very, very helpful. I believe, and I've also read, that there are more and frequent are deeper conflicts in the church these days, and the leaders see that. As we interact with the people and try to look at the big picture, we do see that there are more conflicts these days, and so this is a very important topic for us to cover as leaders of the church, but also as the church in general, because it is God's will that the Church of Jesus Christ be a unified body. And so today we're going to explore what that looks like to be a unified body of Christ as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving Father, as we hear this good word from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body of Christ, we are delighted to already experience it in the sanctuary. Because every Sunday as we gather here, we are your body gathering to worship the head, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so now as we hear more about the body of Christ, we pray that you teach us, but that you'd also unify us as a body of Christ. May we experience your love, but also a deep love and concern for each other. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I felt called to focus on this passage of Scripture today. During the season of Easter, it's not technically an Easter text, But when on during our retreat last weekend, we focused on this passage, and not surprisingly, because it focuses on unity in the body of Christ. And so I wanted to bring it to you and explore what this unity in the body of Christ looks like in a local church setting. And as we talk about that, we have to admit, and we've already started this conversation, we have to admit that every church is divided in one way or another. One of my colleagues said once, he said, every church is divided. That's just the way it is. And I think he was well-intended in saying that, let's just name it, and now let's work towards unity. And that's what we're trying to do. We need to keep working towards unity in the body of Christ. Another way to say it is every local church experiences conflict. Now, when we think of conflict, we may feel like running, the flee or fight kind of response. Most of us don't like conflict. A few people really love it for some reason. I don't know why, but they do, but most people don't. Interestingly, I learned last weekend that the Chinese symbol for conflict, and I don't know what that symbol is. I guess we should have, I never thought to even look it up and project it. But the Chinese symbol for conflict can mean two things. It can mean crisis, or it can mean opportunity. Isn't that interesting? It all depends on how you deal with the conflict. That was very enlightening for me, and it gave me hope, because as a leader of the church, we experience and enter, or are called to enter, the conflict of the church and help it and help resolve it and pursue unity in the body of Christ. And as we do that, we can take heart, because every local church, past and present, has gone through this, continues to go through it. The ancient church of Corinth, where we find our passage today, is no different. This was a very blessed church, full of spiritual gifts and talent and personality. It was a blessed church, but it was a conflicted church. In fact, if you read through Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, you will see that the theme of division or conflict comes out regularly. For example, early on in the letter, Paul talks about how some people were divided over leadership. Some thought Paul is our leader, others thought a man named Apollos is our leader, and some said Cephas or Peter is our leader. And so there was three different factions in the Corinthian church, and they were fighting it out, who should be ruling the church. Then later on in the letter, we hear about division over the Lord's Supper. Very, very fascinating story if you read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The people in the church of Corinth, there was likely the rich and the poor. And back in the ancient world, the rich and the poor did not eat together. You just didn't do that. The servants would eat in their own quarters in the kitchen. If you've seen Downton Abbey, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? Servants would eat in the kitchen, and the rich would eat in their dining room. And apparently this was going on in the church of Corinth as well. The rich were eating first and eating a feast. Some were even getting drunk. They were eating a whole meal, which was common back in those days for the Lord's Supper. You ate a whole meal. And the rich were getting the leftovers and sometimes nothing at all, and they were being left behind. And Paul says, this is not good. You are being divided over the very sacrament that's supposed to unite you. The Lord's Supper, also called communion. Communion. It's supposed to unite us, but sometimes it divides us. So in his letter to the Corinthian church, Paul addresses the disunity among the people in all these ways. And one of the ways he seeks to build unity in the body of Christ is to talk about what the church is, and he uses this brilliant metaphor called the body. This is an absolutely brilliant move by the Apostle Paul, because all of us have a body. We all understand this metaphor. We all know that we have parts of the body that must work together if we are going to remain healthy and whole. And so this is what Paul talks about. As he says in verse 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And again, we all understand what Paul is talking about here. Even a young child can see, thinking of the baby in the crib, starting to figure out, I have fingers, I have hands that I can grab things. And then you go to school and you learn some biology and you realize there's a lot going on inside of your body too. And all those parts, those organs, blood vessels, nerves and glands, etc., have to work together for good health, or you will not be well. As Paul says in verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so I'm thankful that Paul felt called or was inspired to use the human body as a metaphor to help us understand the church and how the church should function. The church has many members, many parts, all unique, and all the parts are called to work together for the good of the church, forming one unit. All of the parts are important and are needed if the body is to remain healthy and functioning. Now, if your Bibles are open, you'll see that this passage is actually rooted in a conversation on spiritual gifts. Very interesting and strategic for Paul to do this. Also, there was also divisions in the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts. The Corinthian church was a very gifted church, but some people apparently thought their gifts were a little more important than others. And so they'd be maybe flaunting their gift or using it and kind of bragging about it. I don't know how you can do that in terms of the Spirit gives these gifts for the good of the church. We don't choose them, they're gifts. And we're supposed to use them to build up the body of Christ. But that's what was happening. Some thought their spiritual gift was more important. So perhaps they thought that they were more important. And so Paul addresses this elitism, this pride in the church of Corinth. And his basic message for them and now for us is this. We're all members of the body of Christ. Although we are many, we are one. And each member of the body is important. Now, I think sometimes we act like the Corinthians. We may feel like our ministry in the church is more important. And so we may think that maybe we are more important to the church, which leads to pride and may also lead to division. But I think more often than not, divisions in the church occur over what are called polarities. And we learned about these polarities at our recent spiritual retreat. Just so helpful. Polarities are values, attributes, courses of action that come in pairs. They're interdependent and they're indestructible. They're not problems to solve as much as differences to manage. A classic example of a polarity is tradition and innovation. Another way of naming this pair is stability and change. That is, finding a balance between honoring the past and being relevant to the present situation. Now let's just flesh this out and give an example. In the polarity of tradition and change, we might talk about worship practices. Let's say you prefer contemporary worship music over traditional hymn singing. Many churches have divided over this issue. In fact, it has created deep divisions in many churches. New churches have started over differences in worship styles or regarding preferences. But as we think of those two polarities, tradition and innovation in the context of worship, we realize that actually both forms of worship singing are biblical and good. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, "Sing to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with your hearts to God." Like there's a real breadth to worship style. And so this form of polarity, tradition and innovation, should not divide a congregation. But unfortunately, it often does because it is not managed properly. There will always be views or different views in the church. Even the apostles didn't agree on everything. But those different views, especially when they're polarities, should not lead to division. And they surely won't lead to as much division if we all realize we're part of the one body of Christ. As Paul says in verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, sometimes I think we feel a little bit insignificant. We may sit in the chair or the pew and we look around and think, well, I don't really have a lot to offer. What really do I have to offer the church? But, you know, Paul is pushing against that kind of thinking here, because he's saying, if you are a follower of Christ, then you belong to the body of Christ, and you have an equal place and voice. Yes, we have different spiritual gifts and callings, and Paul talks about these different gifts and callings before our sermon text and after, but we're all members of the body of Christ, so everyone is important. And this is the correct understanding of the church that should lead us to treat each other with love and respect in spite of the differences that we face. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a voice. Everyone is important because we are all members of the body of Christ. So let us start treating each other that way. Now, happily, this church, I think, does a pretty good job of that, but there's always room for growth, isn't there? Like, for example, when it comes to polarities, these contrasting opinions on certain matters, let us learn to listen to each other deeply. Let's not let these different opinions or perspectives divide us. When it comes to different gifts, abilities, and personalities, let's seek to honor each other and bring each other in, helping us find our place in the church. Let's not let a ministry be our, like your ministry, let it be our ministry together. In fact, what I've learned that if most ministries worth doing in the church are worth doing as a group. I know that's challenging sometimes to find partners, but I think that's a good principle to follow. Let's do ministry together. Now, at our recent spiritual retreat, we engaged in a few talking circles. Perhaps you have been a part of a talking circle before. We all sat in a circle, and every person in the circle was given a chance to talk, and we had a rock. And you passed the rock to the left, and whoever was holding the rock had the floor. And that person talked, and everyone else listened. And as we sat in that circle, talking to each other, listening, we experienced a deep unity in the body of Christ in that place. It was really an interesting experience. I've only had that one other time, the talking circle idea, but everyone there was equals. We were all facing each other, looking at each other. We were all part of an unbroken circle, and I think something significant happened because we did that. Yes, there were leaders present who led the way, even choosing the topic of discussion, but everyone was given a voice. In this way, no one was left out, and everyone was given a place in the community. I think this is a helpful image for us. We talk about the body as the ultimate image for the church, but the circle is also helpful. We are all part of the body of Christ. If you are a follower of Christ, then you belong to the body of Christ. You belong to that circle. And we need your voice at the table. What would we do without you? No one else brings your exact blend of gifts and abilities and perspectives to the church. We need all voices present, all members on the job. You are needed in this church. We're all needed if the body is to be healthy and whole. Now, at our recent church family meeting, we acknowledged that there are hurting and missing people among us. We also acknowledged that the leaders of the church are called to lead the way in reaching out to these people. But you know what? In the end, we're all called to reach out to the hurting and missing members of our body. And so I invite you now to just take a moment and look around. This is maybe the awkward moment in the sermon. Just take a moment and look around. I'm going to just pause and take a drink. Please look around. You see, I have this unique perspective. How's it going? Kind of fun, hey? I have this unique perspective to see you from up here. I generally know who's here and who's not. I also look out and I sometimes see really hurting people. I mean, I can't speak with conclusively about that, but I'm fairly intuitive. And I observe well. I'm observant, and I see a lot of hurting people at times. Who among us is hurting today? Who is absent? Who has come to your mind? I invite you to commit today that you will reach out to at least one hurting or missing member this week. So who is that person? I'm going to just give you another few seconds to think about it. Who is that person? Now, if you're from another local church, you can be thinking of your own church. Who is that person that's hurting or who has been absent recently, for whatever reason, that you are called to reach out to? Every church contains polarities, these differences of opinion on some issues. But let us not let these differences in opinion fragment the body of Christ. God places a very high priority on unity in the church. So should we. You are the body of Christ. Let us act like it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for giving us your life-giving word once again. And as we have learned about your will for the church, that we are called to be a unified body of Christ, and we are all part of the body, we are all important, we feel it. We have experienced that unity during this message, and we have experienced also the pain of other hurting members, or the loss of missing members. We've also experienced the joy of being unified as a body of Christ, and we want more of it. Lord, please continue to unify us as we now prepare for communion, and as we also go out this week to minister to that one person, at least one person, that you have brought to our hearts and minds. We pray that that conversation would go well, and that you would continue to build up unity in the body of Christ so that we would be a healthier, more vibrant church, but also so that you would receive the honor and glory due your name. For we pray it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.